So we want to be faithful to that. But let's look in the Bible tonight in Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47 in the Word of God in verse 1. Scripture says here in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 1, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looked eastward. And behold, there ran out water on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything that shall live whither the river cometh. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless the reading of your word tonight. We ask in Jesus' name for anointing of the Spirit of God for the preaching of the gospel. And ask, dear Lord, that you would have your sweet will and way in every heart and every life. We thank you, dear God, once more for the privilege to serve you, for the prison doors that you've opened and the opportunity to worship you in these places and to praise you before these men that you've called us to serve among. We ask in Jesus' name, dear Lord, that you bless tonight at this church. Each one that's come, and God, that you'd be encouraging to them, that you would, Lord God, also bless, dear Lord, in any particular need, Lord, for strength and health or whatever it might be. Lord, you're the one that we come to for these things, and we know that you know each one, and we ask that you do, dear God, grant, Lord Jesus, these needs. We praise you, dear Jesus, for a church with a heart for missions. We ask, God, that you continue to keep a hand of blessing upon this church, and God, that you would use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Healing water out of the river, the topic here tonight, a type of the grace of God. Before I preach a rhetorical question just for a moment here, since I got a little time, but just want to say the man in verse 3 in our passage of Scripture is the man with a line in his hand, a pre-incarnate Christophany or a vision of Christ, or is it an angel? I don't know, but I just wanted to make maybe a suggestion that it could be Jesus paying a visit here at this millennial temple he's describing to us in the Word of God. Because Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 2, and we don't have to go there unless you just want to look at it. I'm not writing a book tonight. I'm just trying to determine myself about this man. But Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 2 says, Ezekiel, in the visions of God, was brought into the land of Israel. Now this is in the future. This is the millennial that the description here is in these chapters. Chapter 40 and verse 3 says that there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed. He's the same man that we're following here through these chapters. In chapters 40, 41, and 42, he measures the temple. And then in chapter 43 and verse 1, he takes Ezekiel to the gate of the temple. And in verse 2, chapter 43, verse 2, the glory of the Lord speaks to Ezekiel. So there, Ezekiel is there. And the Bible shows in verse 6, as the man with the line in his hand stood by him. So he's there as well. The man standing, the glory of God speaking. Who is this man? Is he an angel or a pre-incarnate vision of Christ? Because this is Old Testament that we're seeing, but the time is actually a millennial that he's describing. It could be. Could be. Bible says, look in Revelation chapter 1 and the verses following from verse 12 to 18 describes Christ. And verse 15 of Revelation chapter 1, with feet like fine brass. It says that. And then where we are in chapter 47 and verse 3 shows the man with a line in his hand measuring the flow of the river that comes from the altar of God. It could be a pre-incarnate Jesus here himself showing the significance of the millennial temple. I'll ask the Lord when I get to heaven. I don't really know. But meanwhile, I want to preach a little while on that mighty river from the heart of God. And first, if you'd notice in verse 1 of chapter 47, in the last part of the verse here, the source of the river at the south side of the altar, the scripture says. The south side of the altar. That's the source of this river, the temple of God, the altar of God, and it'll be good. I'm going to say this. It'll be good when you make your mind up that everything comes from God. Amen. Amen. It'll just be a help. It'll just be a help. All creation is no accident. It's directly from the mind of God. And by the way, that's 6 days and not 6 billion years. God is omniscient. He is omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he's not limited in any way except. There are three things that he cannot do. Three things that he cannot do. He can't die. Amen. And you can't kill God. He's eternal. He can't lie. He's holy. Amen. And the Bible even says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 that God does not lie. And then he can't see my sin because it's under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that one, amen, because I'm praise God that he has forgiven my sin, and I praise God that he doesn't have a calculator trying to keep track of all that I've ever done, but I thank the Lord that it's under the blood of Jesus. The Bible says if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the Bible says, God is love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. And this is weighty, because it also says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. John 15, 13. My friend, that happened. That happened. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary and gave his life that he might be the ransom for our sins. The source of the river is the altar of God. And the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus makes our atonement final upon God's altar. It's settled. If you're saved tonight, it's settled. Amen. Glory, glory to God. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees my soul from sin. Come to these waters, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Friend, I want you to know, there's a river. There is a river that flows from deep within. Oh yes, there is a fountain that frees my soul from sin. So why don't you do it today? Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. Praise God, whosoever. There is a river that never shall run dry. The source of this river, described in chapter 47 Ezekiel, is the altar of God. The altar of God in the temple of God. And next, the force of the river. The force of the river. In chapter 47 and 3 and 4 and 5, the Bible shows us. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. The man with a line in his hand measured out that first 1,000 cubits and the water was to the ankles. And another 1,000, the water to the knees. And then another 1,000, the water to the loins. And lastly, the man with the line in his hand measured 1,000 cubits, and the water was a river. It could not be passed over. All from the altar of God. Started a trickle. Started out, it's described, looks like a little trickle there, but then it becomes a mighty river. The farther away it is going from the altar. A vast supply. I'm going to, Lord willing, talk a little more about that in a little bit. But now we need to see this in verse 9. The miracle of the river. Verse 9 says, it shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. The miracle of the river, everything, everything shall live whither the river cometh. Only God can do that. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. And this passage, I'm saying tonight, is a type of the saving grace, because God will heal anything the river comes to, passing its way to the sea, whither the river cometh. And we know God will give life, eternal life, to anyone that comes to Jesus. Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ died for our sins, my sins, your sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried and is risen, glory to God. He was dead and is alive forevermore. Amen. So just saying this evening, God will give life, eternal life, to anyone that comes to Jesus, whosoever will. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Sick and dying, the sick and dying healed. Alive, glory to God. Lost and undone, found, redeemed, hallelujah. And I want to say this. Scripture's got us a nice description. I want to tell you what the Bible says about a certain man that had an infirmity for 38 years. He'd been living a long time in that case. But there was a place in Jerusalem that had a pool by the sheep market. And Bethesda was its name. And at a certain season, an angel went down to that pool and troubled the water. Maybe they saw him, maybe they didn't. But you know, the water started to splash around in the pool because the Bible says, whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. They came. People came. And why they came? For the troubling of the water when the angel came. This certain man was not the only person waiting for the moving of the water. There were five porches full of a great multitude of infirm people there also, waiting on that angel to come and trouble the water. Now, in my house, three people on the porch would be a crowd. We got a little porch. The Bible shows us in John in chapter number 5, this got to be big porches, five of them, big porches, because there's a multitude of infirm people there. So they're waiting on the angel to come and trouble the water. And what happens when the angel comes to trouble the water, you got to get in first. Whosoever then first, after troubling the water, stepped in. So that's the situation. That's the situation. Then Jesus came by and saw him lying and asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, that's not hard for us to understand. We've got our Bibles in our hand, our King James Bibles. But the man might have heard it like this. Do you want to be made whole? Or do you believe you can be made whole? And he answered, to look at those verses in John in chapter number 5, he answered like he did want it, but it didn't sound like it was going to happen for him. He knew he couldn't get into the water first. He had nobody to help him. But Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And he did. And he did. Praise God, he did. He came away getting what he never thought he could. And today Jesus is saying, you must be born again. You must be born again. And my question this evening, do you want to be saved? Do you believe Jesus will save you? The only answer should be yes. You got to want it, what the Lord has. Now, this miracle of the river, the miracle of the river, the healing, the life, as it's passing its way to the sea. And we know there are three things that God does not do, because we mentioned them already. But to finish my message, there are four things that God does not know. And somebody says, Brother Jim, wait, God knows everything. He's omniscient. Well, let's see if you can agree. God does not know a sin he does not hate, for God is holy. He is holy, and he knows that sin will destroy our lives. God does not know a sinner he does not love. But God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God does not know a better salvation than his son Jesus. The book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, but none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And God does not know a better time than right now to come to Jesus. Now is accepted time. Now, today, we can't count, nobody can count on tomorrow. And when you say wait, God says now. I know we want to say wait, but God says now. And when you say not now, you're actually saying no. And Christ said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we're in Bible Baptist Church in Fort Mill, South Carolina. There may be someone that's never actually thought that you could be saved. This would be the time to come. This would be the time to come and to trust the Lord with it, because he loves each and every one to say. Let me just say this too, and this is most of the folks here tonight. We know the Lord and we want to follow him, we want to serve him. But when the man with the line in his hand measured out from the temple the first time, water came to Ezekiel's ankles, the second to his knees, the third to his loins, and finally over his head. So we got that from the passage. A river that could not be passed over. But this is no ordinary river. It comes from the heart of God. And his miracles, God's miracles, are done in these waters. And think about it. We need to get into that river. We need to get into that river. Water that's ankle deep, that water that's ankle deep will get your feet wet, but doesn't cover very much more. That's about all it does, to cover your feet. You can get in and get out real quick. But knee-deep water, you'll still be moving around in it, but it has more hold on you. You can't run in knee-deep water. You can try to pick your legs up and somehow try to get out of it, but you can't run in it. It has a hold on you. You can't get out as quickly or have as much control yourself when the water is to your knees. Loin deep water to your waist, but your head's still above water. Yeah, that's good. You can see, you can look around. Your head's above water, but the water will move you along with it. I mean, the water has got some force and got some strength in itself, and it can move you around. And that'll be hard to resist. And you might still try to control your direction, and that's what most of us do, try to still control our direction even as we're waist deep in the water. But over the headwater, that you can swim in, you go where it goes. You go where it goes. You're carried by it. We need to jump in. Get in deeper. Get in deeper into this river of grace, into God's miraculous river. Rely on him to take you where he wants you to go. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for everyone's life. And a lot of times we can get our feet in, jump out real quick. Sometimes we might step in a little deeper. and then get back out. And sometimes we'll try to move ourselves around ourselves and kind of direct ourselves as we're going along in the channel. But he wants us to go ahead and trust him, to rely on him. Just let go. Plunge in deeper. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to be immersed and trust in God, trust in him. Maybe you're in ankle deep. Maybe you're already in ankle deep. Well, just plunge in. Let go. Just go ahead. Or maybe knee deep. Maybe that's where you are. Knee deep. Let go. Just plunge in. Plunge in today. If you're already waist deep, if you're already there, go ahead and go all the way. Go ahead and let go. Trust God. He will carry you. He will carry you. And we need to be deeply into this river. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you bless. Help us, Lord God, be committed to walking with you, to serving you, and Lord, enjoying the grace that comes in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that special favor. I ask that you bless. If there's one here tonight without Christ, I pray this would be the time that dear soul would believe and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And those that's in just a little bit on the fence, got their toes wet, I pray you'd help just go ahead and jump in. And those that's in already to their waist, help them just make the commitment. In Jesus' name.